Hey guys, I'm Mark Potter. Welcome to another episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine. Today's episode is brought to you by Conduit Incorporated. For all your custom publishing needs, visit www.conduit-inc.com. Guys, I have a little bit of a raspy voice. It's a little bit better than when I recorded my conversation with my guest, but forgive me. In and out of ice rinks, running around like a crazy person, and so the voice is gone, and obviously not very short of breath, as you guys all know. I had a really, really cool conversation with a gentleman by the name of Matthew Parker. Some of you are probably aware of Matthew. He does a lot of stuff on LinkedIn, in the social circles. He is a print consultant. He is a excellent sales training and mentor for the print companies, and he's got clients all over the world. He's from Box, Wiltshire, in the United Kingdom. He is got the nice, soothing English accent that will counter my raspy voice, so it'll be a little bit more pleasant to listen to. But he's got great perspective on how sales have changed, how buyers have changed, and he specifically works in this industry. So I really, really enjoyed my conversation with him because it's one thing to have some of these conversations with people that can talk in general, but he is in our world. He's from here. So he knows how, sales has evolved. He speaks a lot about how we as organizations, sales organizations, print organizations need to step out and do something different for people to find us. And so a nice kind of continuation of the theme of most of our podcasts and how we write in Canvas is that, you know, the world has changed, but we definitely need to put the vibe out there. And so I was really excited, got some goosebumps when listening to him. So he knows his stuff. So really, really excited to have him on. And without further ado, give my conversation with Matthew Parker a little listen. I've seen you on, I've seen a lot of your posts on LinkedIn, and it's been really, really cool stuff, and love the fact that you've kind of taken, you know, a thought leadership perspective, and looks like you're very supportive of not just print, but sales in general.
Yeah, that's right. And I believe there's a lot of the issues that are faced by the printing industry are the same as those that are faced by other industries, and a lot of the issues faced by print salespeople are similar to those faced by salespeople in other industries as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. What do you think what are the biggest things in today's world that you know salespeople in general are facing? Because I'm sure that you believe that times have changed, and that selling has changed, but I'm sure there's also some things that will never change within the sales. But what do you think are some of the top things that have present new challenges for salespeople?
I think the two key issues are the fact that buyers are no longer as keen to talk as they were, right. And they have less time. And the second issue is the fact that they're increasingly online as well. So the salesperson who's relied on being face-to-face or voice-to-voice has to move into the online arena much more if they're going to have success in today's world.
Right. I agree with that so much. And you know, sometimes we can see that, and we can certainly understand that that's the case. But, you know, it doesn't seem like we all change our ways, right? I mean, you know, I talk about how, buyers are going through self-discovery. That's kind of going with what you were saying in terms of them being online, and that they have all these tools to keep people at an arm's length. So it's so much harder for people to get in touch with someone and even start to try to develop a relationship, isn't it?
Absolutely. But at the same time, it may be harder to make contact with an individual by traditional means but it is so much easier now to actually get your message out to a much larger audience of buyers. So when I started my business over 10 years ago, I had a new opportunity because there was social media out there, it was the power of the internet, and I got to talk to people. So I have clients all over the world, and I wouldn't have dreamt before of having tried to contact them by ringing them up, and now we can connect on social media. There's so many ways to get our knowledge and our message out there that weren't available a few years ago. So there are huge opportunities as well as huge challenges. I like to use the example of one of my clients who needed some help with buying. They were in a massive global organization. They were the procurement director, the sort of person that I couldn't even imagine needing me. Mm-hmm. And certainly I wouldn't have spent the time trying to contact them because they probably had about 5 gatekeepers. And even if I did get through them, why would that person talk to me? And yet they contacted me because they were aware of the message that I've been putting out on social media and on my email lists. And they saw a need for my services and made contact with me. And that could never happen in traditional sales times.
It really has kind of changed, right? It used to be you're just pounding on doors, you're making cold calls. And what you're saying is that, you didn't necessarily approach them. You made it possible for them to find you. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's right. And if we can get that message out in front of enough people, because a lot of the problems with selling is that we contact the person at the wrong time when they're not ready to buy.
Right.
And then you contact them again, maybe they're interested, you contact them again, I remember you, I just placed my job last week.
Yeah.
And you weren't in front of them at the right time.
Right.
So the fact now that we can get that message out and stay front of mind for people through different channels without having to take up their time through phone calls and meetings gives us opportunities as long as we get that message right. And this methodology doesn't work if we're just selling print and cheap prices. We have to understand the challenges of the types of buyer that we're looking for and their specific challenges and send out a message that resonates with them.
And so how do you craft that message? Meaning, because I assume that you and I are on the same page when you just can't, out of thin air put some random op-ed piece out. I mean, you've probably got to have real world knowledge, right? And
yeah,
real connections and be able to maybe even name drop or share examples. Is that correct?
I think a lot of it is down. Name dropping helps in terms of the client list, but a lot of the time people just want to know that you understand their situation and you're in a position to help them. And that knowledge comes through talking to current customers who are similar to the ones that we're targeting. So I try and reach out to one of my customers at least once a month. I don't always manage it as often as I should, but I try and reach out about once a month and have a conversation with them and have an interview with them to find out more about what's going on in their world and what I should be understanding about the challenges that they're facing. Mm-hmm. And if we spend that time with those customers, they will create great marketing messages that we can then use to reach out to other prospects who are in those same market spaces, and we'll suddenly have a much more powerful way of engaging with them. Again, the interesting thing is that sometimes my clients come out with sales, almost sales language and sales propositions that I could never have thought of, and they come out with all my marketing for me, and that's a very powerful place to be in at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it sounds like you believe that that a lot of people, their engagements, their conversations, their what we call their quote unquote sales calls actually, should be a good portion of it should be dedicated to making a marketing call, and I think historically, you know, we go in there and we're thinking about our own wallet and you know, we make a sales call and we're asking them about their business, but only to respond by pitching our wares. And it sounds like you're saying, look, there's got to be more engagement on just discovery, just marketing, you know, trying to get their story, so to speak, so that you can then create those that vibe, if you will, and share that with the masses. Is that kind
of... Absolutely. So, yeah, that's very true, Mark, because when I'm reaching out to my clients, a good amount of my sales time is actually spent trying to persuade them not to buy from me, mm-hmm. so that they're the ones taking the steps and going, yes, we want to engage with you. For a start, that process, it may sound a little counterintuitive, if you like, mm-hmm. But that process then ensures that if I go down that route, that I get to a point where they, first of all, I'm getting rid of all the objections. So if there's something that's a real deal breaker, I find out about it early on, and we either resolve it or we both agree to move on because we're not the right fit for each other. But equally, I'm asking them to take the moves to work with me rather than the other way around. And that often creates a much more powerful working partnership once the buying decision's been made.
Mm-hmm. And so have you seen, and when you first started, so you said your business is 10 years old. So yeah. When you first started, were you jumping in with traditional sales strategies and traditional, you know, the old sales 101 stuff? And have you seen that morph in that short amount of time to, gosh, you know what? We've got to change because the buyers have changed. Have you seen it that change that much in that short of time?
I think those changes were already happening 10 years ago. They've got more extreme now.
Right.
And I think when I started, I was still trying to find out what the problem was for the customer and how I could fix that for them. Mm-hmm. So my background was actually as a print buyer. And when I started off my own business, I knew I wanted to start my own business off. And I thought I was going to offer high-level print purchasing consultancy to bigger companies. And what actually happened was a lot of printing companies and my old suppliers were ringing me up and going, Matthew, you were hard work when we talked to you, so can you come in and tell us how to deal with people like you? So they were actually creating that need and contacting me at that point. So that led me to realize early on that it was very much about finding out the challenges of the prospect and focusing on that. What evolved over time was my method of getting that message out. So, yeah, in the early days, I used to pick up the phone a lot. And now I never cold call clients because, I'm not saying that that's possible for all salespeople,
right.
But I have no need to cold call clients because I've got enough who make contact with me. And I then need to follow that contact up with a one-to-one phone call or email, but I've got enough who make contact with me wanting to buy because I'm using different routes to get out and put my sales message in front of them so that I'm always front of mind with a good range of people.
Right. So let me ask you this. So so as you do that, let's step back because I have some questions about specifics in terms of what the general sales print salesperson can do or the print company can do. But before that, let's do a little, give us a little bit more about your background specifics. You know, how, you know, I assume obviously you grew up in England, but your background started in print, but with publishing, right?
Yeah, well, we take a step back further than that. My background started in archaeology, so I
trained
as an archaeologist.
Oh, yeah. Wow!
and then, almost by chance, I moved into buying print. My first full-time job was in a production team at a company that produced catalogs, or it was more to do with the educational publishing side. And then I kind of went through a whole range, but my last full-time job was at a company called Future Publishing. where I headed up their print buying and several other procurement areas as well by the end. And then I moved from there and started working as Profitable Print Relationships, training and printers, printing companies, and educating them in all areas of customer engagement.
So that's fascinating. So tell me, you went from archaeology. You studied it, and you were, and that was going to be your path. And so, but how did that? Give me the specifics. How did you go from archaeology to the next thing you know, you're buying print?
So as I studied archaeology, I actually got really into photography and kind of wanted to pursue a career in that. So I kind of had that change of mindset whilst I was studying. And it turned out the nearest I could get to photography was buying print. And that kind of kept me in the graphics industry. And then I discovered that actually the print industry, I think so many people have discovered this, the printing industry is such a powerful industry that once you're in it, it's actually quite hard to leave it because it's kind of has that hold over so many people. You love the smell of ink.
There's
so many nice people in there. There's so many good projects. So I stayed with print and loved it and never regretted that. But and that's how that happened. So it was purely by chance, but I'm very glad I had that journey.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So Matthew, if you've been studying archaeology, you're going through a discovery process, right? I'm assuming that, I don't know if I'm trying to force the connection or force the analogy, but there isn't, okay. Isn't there an analogy there on some level in terms of the way sellers should be going about this? In archaeology, I'm assuming you're going through this remarkable discovery process. And that's kind of what people have to do a little bit more of now. Am I forcing that or is it true?
Well, I've never thought of it in those ways. But yes, I guess it is. You're taking in archaeology a lot of facts and you're building a story from that and making some, what's the best way to describe it? You're making some, assumptions from that, and you're building up a background. Mm-hmm. And you can do the same with your buyers. You can have a look at some of the things and put together something. I think the big difference is that in archaeology, you don't get to speak to anyone anymore.
Right.
All the people that you want to find out about are long gone. In sales, you get to speak to people. So you can take all these facts, you can build your story, but you have your current customers that you can talk to validate the hypothesis that you're making. You have people who can validate that to make sure that it is likely to work with similar prospects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's a really, really, I love that. I think that we've actually gone full circle in today's world where, we used to live in a world where you did knock on doors and you tried to sell your wares. And in a lot of ways, that process commoditized anything, really, right? It wasn't really sales. Today, you've got to go through that self-discovery, or you've got to go through that that process of telling the stories and putting the vibe out. And I feel like it's a more sincere. I know that we're immersed in technology and, one button can solve all our problems. But, as difficult as it is to get connected with people, I think once you do, it's certainly more sincere. It's, you see in our country, we've had, in every country these days, it seems like every 2-3 weeks there's some crazy tragedy. And I feel like safety is a big issue in everybody's minds. And so even today, they want to know that you're a safe bet. And so what you're saying is that, look, if you're putting the vibe out and you're demonstrating that you, in fact, know what they're going through, that you're from where they are, there's a little bit of a trust that's built up. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that trust happens because you can show someone you understand their industry, you understand their point of view. One of the things I say when I'm training people in creating sales messages is that you should be in your customer's world. And mm-hmm. that's the most important thing you can do. So often we stay in our world of print, and yeah, there's so many great things going on there. It's very easy that we get all excited about that, but we don't necessarily put ourselves in our customers' shoes and say, right, where are they coming from? What are they doing? And if we can do that, it changes the conversation. And that, I think, is very important. So there's that trust bit, but there's also showing that we understand the customer's world and we know where they're coming from and we can help them because we understand that situation.
Right, right. So, all right, so getting back to the advice piece, because it's easy to, you know, you and I can certainly agree on, you know, we got to put the vibe out, we got to, you know, tell stories. What about, what things do you think that they can do? What can some random print person who's, you know, been at it for a while or depend, you know, just started, who, you know, what can they start to do, you know, on a daily basis to, you know, what are some of the tactical things you think are important today?
Okay. So, the first thing, which I think is vitally important, is they need to mix up their channels of communication a lot more. So often the salesperson relies on going out and using the phone and email. And these days, you need to contact the buyer through so many more channels. So I often do a little test with people if they're in a workshop with me, and I get them to work out how many different channels they've approached prospects through over the past couple of weeks. And typically a good salesperson will have maybe done 5, maybe 6, and most are kind of 2 or 3. And I use about between 10 and 12 different channels throughout my sales process. And one of those channels that we should all be using now, and I don't do it enough, but one of those channels we should be using is print.
Yeah,
so another thing I ask people is, you know, you talked earlier about going full circle, and that is happening because people are getting tired of random e-communication. So it doesn't stand out anymore. We're getting lost in all the e-noise, and there's all those statistics about the number of messages we're bombarded with. And direct mail is having a resurgence because of that, because it stands out to people. So one of the questions I ask people is, when did you last send some print out as part of your marketing or sales efforts? And there's often an embarrassing silence at that point. So one of the key things people could start doing is actually sending out some nice print pieces to key prospects.
Yeah.
To stay front of mind that way. So that's another tactic they should be doing. And they should be really active on social media as well. If you're not active on social media, you're missing a trick at that point. But you should have a great LinkedIn profile, and you should be using that to drive one-to-one relationships with prospects.
Right. Well, you know, you're
thing that I'd start with.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. So it is really amazing that our industry, you know, print. Look, we lack that intimacy that we potentially had before, right? There was a day, and it's been a long time now, but there was a day when a salesperson could walk into a building and know everybody and basically have the run of the place, right? You could walk and say hi to the person at the front desk and, you know, all these different departments and just kind of walk in willy-nilly. You can't do that anymore. And so to me, you know, we don't get to have that face-to-face handshake type time anymore. And that's obviously the most intimate connection. But I think print is the next level of intimacy. I think you're still touching it. And you know, our industry should be extremely proud of that. And yet it is fascinating that more printers or marketing service providers don't use that. You know, and I
totally agree. It saddens me, you know, where saying that print is a great medium, and yet at the same time we're not practicing what we preach, and right. I find that a great shame.
And it's a great way to, I mean, it's, and you know, even my young kids, you know, if they get something in print, the other day they both got a magazine and they came to my office and they were addressed to my kids for some reason. I took them home and they both kind of jumped up like, oh, that's cool. You know, I got something in the magazine. You know, my son got a car magazine and so he was flipping through it. And I thought, you know, technology comes at us so fast and there's so much noise that we forget that we're still trying to connect on an intimate level. So print can do that. Do you feel like people, why do you think people forego it? Or why do they not use it? Is it the cost?
I think it must be the cost, but I'm not entirely sure why they do forego it, but I think the cost must be part of it. And that's a shame because, you know, how much does it cost you in terms of a salesperson's time in trying to make one-to-one contact with lots of people, you know, a morning down on the phone, that's very expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a shame that people do forego that because it is a good way of making contact. I think the other thing that maybe print people should remember as well is that, you know, the Holy Grail used to be face-to-face time in front of a buyer,
right.
And that doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. You have got that right to expect people to meet you. You're going to have to be someone very special for the average buyer to want to spend that time with you now. So with that in mind, bear in mind there's other ways of doing that, having that one-to-one conversation. You know, I have one-to-one conversations with people on LinkedIn. I don't actually do sales meetings anymore. So if someone wants to meet with me, I say, actually, really sorry, but no, I'm not going to drive and meet with you because it's not a great way for the environment. It's not a good use of time. I'll Skype instead, or I'll use FaceTime or WhatsApp. And there's so many different ways of having that one-to-one time with buyers now that we didn't have before that we should be embracing.
I agree. There's a lot of different channels that everybody can use. And you can still develop that persona, that connection, that trust in that way. Tell me about the leadership that you deal with, right? There's the salesperson, but I'm assuming that with your clients, you're talking predominantly to the leadership because they're sitting there and their angst is you know, it's probably about, you know, where their next sale is coming, how do they sell, how do they train, that type of thing. How has the conversation with the leadership changed over the years?
I think the first thing, at least in Europe, is that the leadership has many more roles than it used to. So you don't have the role of the CEO of the company who sits up there and just does the strategic direction. They're probably involved in the day-to-day production and the sales and goodness knows what else. So quite often, they want those answers for themselves as much as they do for their staff. And I think we're kind of getting to the point where the print industry is maybe fragmenting into two halves. And there's the companies with the smaller company culture that are much more flexible with a much less rigid leadership structure than they used to be. And that's going quite far up the chain now. So there's companies that a few years ago would have had maybe some very rigorous or some very rigid management structures. Those have gone now. And they're acting much more like an agile, smaller company. And then you have the really big people from the companies that are consolidating. And then they're much more into the looking at things that may be a little bit more compartmentalized, that people have their own strategies. And actually, I think it's the first level of company which is being more agile and changing more. I think sometimes it's more difficult to change those super tankers of the big consolidated companies.
And so do you feel like the leadership is more involved in sales now? Meaning?
Yeah, absolutely.
They are.
Yeah.
Because people crave what you were talking about earlier is they, you know, that more sophisticated conversation demands more of a peer-to-peer type relationship.
Partly that, but also as companies are being forced to become leaner are more agile because they right. can't support the cost base that they used to.
Right.
The role of the CEO or the managing director cannot just be to be a leader. They have to be in there getting the business as well.
Right, right, exactly. Talk to me about compensation. And I don't know what it's like in Europe, but I got to believe compensation is one of the challenges that keeps us from embracing what you're talking about. Meaning, you know, you're talking about putting the vibe out. You're talking about going and doing marketing calls and creating, you know, doing that research and so you can create stories and thought leadership and putting this whole, the idea out that, you know, look, you know what they're feeling, but that takes time. And so on the other side, I'm a salesperson, and a lot of these companies are still using kind of the old 100% commission-based model. And so for me to eat, I got to just sell. I got to push product. I'm assuming that's a big conversation with you and your clients in terms of, you know, it kind of rubs against each other, does it not?
It does. How do I answer that question? It's a good question. Oddly enough, it's not a conversation that comes up hugely. And I think part of that is, at least in Europe, we're seeing less and less the full-time salesperson.
Okay.
The people who are bringing in the sales are typically either part sales and part customer service, or they're at the senior management level where the compensation is the fact that their company is bringing the business and doing well, and they're seeing the company thriving. So I tend not to have that conversation a lot. I think that most companies now are seeing the necessity for a marketing function.
Yes.
Either to support the salesperson, so that the salesperson has the tools there, or that the salesperson has that dual role. I think also that the days of the traditional salesperson knocking on the doors, a moving company with their portfolio of clients, those days are numbered because that job role doesn't work anymore.
Right.
The conversation I'm used to having with printing companies is, I've just fired my last salesperson because he was costing me an arm and a leg, or she was costing me an arm and a leg, and they weren't bringing in the right results for me. I wasn't getting enough business from them. So typically companies are looking at different ways to bring in business apart from having a dedicated sales force.
Right, right, right. Let me ask you this. So maybe this is different over there, but, you know, obviously printers in general, you know, they've been selling offset lithography, and we know that the printed word has changed a bit, right? It's, you know, obviously there's a digital component. So they're selling that, but a lot of people are trying to have a deeper, conversation, a more partner oriented conversation. To say, look, there's so much more we can do for you. It could be add specialty items. It could be all your packaging. It could be wide format. It could be design services. You name it, fulfillment. And so, but the challenge there is that if you're using the traditional sales group, and let's say they've been calling on a client for 10 years, you know, they walk in the next day and they say, you know, I'm so much more. It's a lot harder for them to change the perception with the people that already know them, as opposed to going to someone brand new. Like, you can walk into somebody who doesn't know you and say, we do all this stuff, right? But how does a salesperson or a sales organization overcome that? You know, that they've got to change perception with clients that have known them as one thing and one thing only.
I think it can be done if you have the relationship with them. If you're just there as the commodity print supplier, then that's a very hard conversation to have. But if you've been building up a genuine relationship, you can say, hey, look, I want you to understand that, you know, we're shifting our strategy as a company.
Right.
There's new conversations that we should be having.
Right.
But I think with the new people, it's interesting, the examples you gave me are still very much in our world. We want to do your packaging, we want to do your fulfillment. What the conversation that I think is much more valuable to the buyer is, what can we do to reduce your supply chain costs?
Right.
What can we do to reduce, to make your purchasing more efficient? What can we do to drive more customers through your door? And if you're talking to the average person buying print now, that's a conversation they're interested in having. It doesn't work if you're dealing with someone who's a pure print buyer, because they've commoditized print a long time ago. They know what they need to buy and who produces it most effectively. And it doesn't work with the procurement team, because right. they are hugely cost focused. But for the rest of the people there, that's the conversation that is much more likely to get some results.
Well, and I think it goes back, it probably goes back to what you were saying earlier, and is that those are the things that you should be writing about, or these are the things that you should be putting out in the world, right? You're not going to just say,
Definitely.
Hey, let me tell you about print. You can start to take, I sense this from you, is that you don't necessarily have to be an expert in something. You just need to go ask the questions, and over the course of time, that I don't know, that publishing process, if you will, the next thing you know, people are starting to go, well, you're putting the vibe out, and you know, the next thing you are, you're sort of perceived as an expert just because you've done that.
That's really interesting. I think I was talking to one company, and the most successful salesperson that they had used to be a newscaster.
Oh, wow.
So they knew nothing about print when they joined the company. And yet they went out and they were selling far more effectively than many of the traditional print salespeople. And I tell this story, and I get challenged so many times on this. How can they do that? They can't possibly sell better because they don't understand print. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons that they sold better was that they didn't understand print. So they could spend their time understanding the customer rather than having all that print knowledge that was almost getting in the way of finding the right solution for the customer.
Yeah.
So they could then go back to their company and go, this is what we need to achieve for our customer. How do we do this?
Yeah.
Not going out to the customer going, I've got these things to sell. How can I persuade you to do them?
I love that. You know, it's funny because, you know, our organization, we do, this content, and I had a group, we have a financial organization that we write for. And when we first engaged with them, they said, you know, have you ever written for the financial services industry? And I looked at them and said, no, but we're going to go ask the questions. And now, because we're involved in that process, this goes specifically to your example, you know, we find the editorial, like that discovery, we find the topics. They're not, you know, the client's not saying this is what we should write about, because we're interviewing and we're talking to people. These things crop up and we sit there and go, oh my gosh, that's really interesting. We should delve into that in another story. And so that goes to your whole methodology, is that you don't, and I think there's like a fear there. Like, well, I'm not a subject matter expert, or I'm not a thought leader, but all you have to do is take the first step and just go start asking questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more we ask those questions, the more of those conversations we have, then the better position we're in to start winning customers, because we're better equipped to have those questions.
Yeah.
So it's a powerful way. But if we go with the preconception that we have to talk about print, then that can make your life rather more complicated, I think.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
For that reason, we need to move out of that print mindset. We shouldn't be embarrassed about the solution is print. We should be proud about what we do.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, we need to just move away from that preconception that the customer wants to talk about print, or the customer wants to buy print. They want something that's going to change the way they're doing things for their business.
Yeah. Matthew, do you ever work with American companies?
Oh, absolutely. So I work worldwide with people. I've been out to the US and been to some of your events over there. But equally, Skype is a great way of being able to communicate with people. So it's never a major issue.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know, before I let you go, this was, I mean, because it's been awesome, and I'm just so excited that we connected. So I need you to do two things for me. One, you know, what's your last piece of advice? What's your parting word for our readership? And then before we go, let them know where they can find you.
Okay. So my last piece of advice, I think I've mentioned it before, but I would go out and interview one of your clients and sit down with them. Yeah, as long as you can make the diaries work. I've never had a client who's refused to do this for me.
Right.
But sit down and have a conversation and ask them about their business. Understand them, their business, their challenges, why they're working with print, why they're working with you. They will give you a lot of useful information and help you create the right sales message for other people like them.
That's awesome.
So a little bit of time spent doing that. If you can record the conversation, that's even better. A little bit of time spent doing that, it will give you some really valuable information. So that's the key piece of advice that I would give people to go away with right now.
That's fantastic. I think that's great. That's excellent. And Matthew, where can they find you?
Okay, so a whole load of places. First of all, please visit my website at www.profitableprintrelationships.com. So you can find a lot of useful resources on there, some my blog, some online resources that you can invest in, lots of information there. But there's a whole load of free resources on there. So please spend some time having a look through that. Second, if you're on social media, then please reach out to me. On Twitter, I'm at Print Champion. On LinkedIn, if you just search for Matthew Parker and Print, you should find me. And you can also find me on Facebook and Google+. But Twitter and LinkedIn are where I hang out the most. If you go to my website, you can also download a couple of free books. One is 10 Common Print Selling Errors and What to Do About Them. And one is How to Create Warm Prospects Using Social Media. If you sign up for those, you'll then get a newsletter from me twice a week, free of charge. You can unsubscribe at any time, but full of rant stories, tips, just how I see print from the buyer's point of view. So the newsletter is called Views from the Buyer, and hopefully that's a good resource for people. I know that a lot of people enjoy reading it when they get it twice a week, and I try and make a lot of the advice that I give very actionable there as well. So I think that covers most of the places. I'm often to be seen speaking at events as well, but if you follow me on social media, you'll find out my event schedule. But I do speak in the US and I speak all over the world as well. So I hope that I'll get to meet some of your readers and subscribers, either face-to-face or in the digital world before too long.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. And I just, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I love your passion for it. It's rare when you find kindred spirits that share a passion for our industry and this the new way to engage buyers and being market based, and so that just comes through, Matthew, and I just can't thank you enough for taking the time. I think the readers are going to really enjoy it.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you, Mark. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and it's been a pleasure to be on here.
And so if you get this way, let's get together, okay?
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right, Matthew. Thanks so much.
Mark, thank you as well.
Take care.
You too.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Matthew Parker. He is someone who I think gets us. He understands sales. He understands the printing industry. He knows how the buyers have changed. He spoke specifically about the fact that we all need to put the vibe out. We need to use the publishing process and custom content and to get the word out that, you know, not only do we know what we're talking about, but that we're rubbing elbows with the right people. So, kind of near and dear to my heart. So I loved it and just can't thank him enough for being a part of it. This episode of Brushstrokes, a podcast powered by Canvas Magazine, was again brought to you by Conduit Incorporated. And ironically, Conduit does custom content. We create channels of communication to deepen your connection with your community. So visit www.conduit-inc.com for all your custom content needs. And once again, let me thank Matthew Parker for being a part of this. It is a pleasure to have someone like him on our podcast. So until next time, I hope you guys are all doing well, getting ready for a big turkey dinner next week. And as always, be the buffalo. Take care.